tomorrow all the things were gone. I worked for all my life, and I had to start again. Just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Well, good morning, Columbia and Greene County, in this wonderful but highly taxed state of New York. You're listening to The Right Opinion Show, and I'm Ed Furtick. Now, as usual, we have a great guest on our show, and that would be George Amador, who is a candidate for the New York State Senate from the 46th Senatorial District. Mr. Amador will be running against the incumbent state senator, Cecilia Kacik, and the 46th Senate District, and the candidate will correct me if I'm wrong, covers Greene County, Ulster County, Albany County, Montgomery County, and Schenectady County. So, good morning, George Amador.
Well, good morning, Ed. How are you?
I am doing great. I always feel a lot better when I start talking. I get a little antsy when I'm sliding switches and pushing buttons, and so I'm glad to be talking, which I seem to do very well. How was your trip over here today?
It was good. In the Albany area, it was raining, and we had a lot of downpours throughout the night and heavy thunderstorms, at least at my home. And then driving down the thruway got quite pleasant, so I see the sun shining, and it's a good day here in Columbia County, in Hudson.
Well, we're glad to have you. Thanks for being here, and we're going to talk about a lot of things that are important to your campaign. Now, you were a New York State Assemblyman for how many terms?
2.5 terms. I served there about 6 years that I was. That I was in the assembly.
So that was your political experience, which is quite significant. Yeah. And then you decided to run for the state senate.
Yes.
Against Cecilia Kacik, who I believe served on a school board in her district. And that race turned out to be a real nail biter, and you lost by 18 votes, I believe.
Yes,
do you have any comments on that?
Yes, I did. Well, you know, I've had some experience in the state legislature. My background, Ed, is I'm in the private sector. I am a home builder, developer throughout the capital region.
Yeah, I saw that.
And, you know, I am a father of three beautiful children. Which their ages are 23, 21, and 18. My wife and I, Joelle, we've been married. We're going to be celebrating our 24th year in a couple weeks from now. And running back in 2007 for the state assembly, never thought that I would ever, never had dreams or aspirations being involved in politics. But, you know, we as ordinary people need to get involved in doing some extraordinary things. And what I mean by that is we need people who understand how community works, how the economy works, how raising a family, the effects of what public policy has, whether it's good or negative, positive or not, on all of our lives. And so when I had an opportunity in 2007 to run for the assembly, I says, why not? I've done very many charitable things throughout the capital region, whether it's building a Ronald McDonald family room at Albany Medical Center for patients as well as their family members of the patients, that which is adjacent to the child medical the children's hospital there, or building a hospice home for people who are at the very last end of life, days of their lives, who really don't have a home to spend with their family in those last days because they're under the care of hospice and they may live outside the area. And what Schenectady Group Home, a chapter of the Schenectady Hospice, did was they wanted to build a home. And so I used my talents and my resources, and we built them a home that would house two hospice patients and their families and come together. And, you know, it was a beautiful thing, and it's still going on now in this Schenectady area. I've also built a veterans wall, memorial wall. I've done, I've traveled around the country or parts of the world and helping out many different organizations, building orphanages or remodeling orphanages, and really trying to get a sense of, you know, how we can have the community thrive. And I love that word thrive, Ed, because, you know, we as God's creation, we are created to thrive. And right now we have a government that is trying to take away the thriving ability by imposing a lot of regulations and the bureaucracies, the red tape, and the tax burden that just is creating this sense of a lack of hope and a sense of, you know what, who are we today? You know, we're overtaxed. New Yorkers or Americans, we seem to have the American dream more fading than it is thriving in all of us. And
right,
you know, it's something that I long to see and want to fight for to rekindle back in everyone.
I looked at your website, georgeamador.com.
Yes.
And you raised a number of issues on the website, including the fact that you brought up taxes, including the fact that property taxes in New York are astronomical, to use your word.
Some of the highest in the nation.
And I might throw in there that our gasoline taxes are the highest in the nation, except that we're tied with California.
And a lot has to do with the taxes of it.
Well, that's I'm talking about the tax part of it, not the price of the gas. And just to give you a little idea, according to gaspricewatch.com, the total New York tax, federal and state, is 69.6 cents a gallon here. Massachusetts is 41.9, District of Columbia 41.9. Virginia, 38.6, South Carolina, 35.2, just as an example.
Yeah, look at New Jersey, too, much less.
Yeah, and I've traveled through all those states, and guess what? The roads are not worse than they are in New York.
No.
And people who say, well, we have more people. We need more roads. Well, yeah, you do have more people. You have millions and millions of more people. So what is the justification? But, I mean, what do you think, other than the fact that it seems that a large group of people are escaping from New York State every decade, the figure I saw was an equivalent to the population of Connecticut every 10 years, at least 1990 to 2000, left New York.
And I believe within the last 3 years, about 400,000 people have left the state of New York.
Right.
And, you know, we are... That's very unfortunate. You know, let's go back to the energy and cost and gasoline.
Right.
I understand that we need to invest. We need monies and revenues coming in to invest and make improvements in infrastructure, without question. And what better way to for that revenue to come in is, you know, all the highway use and road use. So tax gasoline. You look at the tolls today, the tolls on the New York State Thruway or any bridge toll is supposed to be put back into the kitty so that they can reinvest to make the improvements in that infrastructure, which is great, because any state that invests in infrastructure, I believe, has, and it has a very updated infrastructure system, would have a better opportunity for economic success and job creation opportunities. But when you have a poor infrastructure, a lot of potholes, not just roads and bridges, but we're also talking about municipal systems of water and sewer and electricity and gas, natural gas opportunities, and energy opportunities. You know, if you don't have the advancement and most up-to-date infrastructure in your communities or in your state, you're going to miss out, you're going to lose. And big companies or small companies are going to go elsewhere with their idea, with their business model, and the opportunity to create jobs somewhere else. And that's not what New York, at least in New York that I was born and raised in, should be.
Why did the, and I assume you're referring to a deteriorated infrastructure, why did that happen? I mean, if you look at the fact that the taxes are so high and the infrastructure is deteriorating, you know, I wouldn't mind paying a little more in taxes if I saw some evidence that I was getting a lot for my money. I'm not seeing anything great happening in New York in regard to how my taxes are spent.
I believe New York State is the greatest state in the country. It's the Empire State. And we should follow that model. We should be the Empire State. Mm-hmm. How are we going to create, turn this thing around to be the envious state of the nation? Not the worst business climate state, not the highest tax state in the nation, not the most amount of people leaving a state in the nation in any given year. I mean, we're on the wrong side of the scale here with the designations that the state of New York has right now. Okay, we're last in economic opportunity. We're last in, we're the most expensive in education per pupil cost, but yet we have some of the worst results it's evident with high dropout rates and grade.
Very high pension payouts for teachers, and the results are not that great. I don't see Common Core solving this problem either, by the way, to throw Common Core into this education discussion. I know you're not a fan of Common Core.
No, and look, there's, as you mentioned, on my website, georgeamador.com, you can go and look at my website on the various topics and points of interest and why I am running as a private citizen. Who, yes, I was involved in state politics for a short period of time, and then ran New York State Senate in 2012. And at the end of the day, we waited for results for a few weeks or a couple months in a heated court battles, and I ended up losing by 18 votes.
Yes,
if you look at those points, Ed, you know, it is about protecting the taxpayer. It's about creating opportunities. It's about excellence in education. And when you look at these and you break it down and to be pretty simple, the state of New York should be thriving, like I said. The state of New York should offer the opportunities for all New Yorkers, not just some special group or one geographic area that it tends to always seem to have its way. And it may be because of population, but we are all New Yorkers. We should be united, and we should all be treated and have to share opportunities.
You know, I wanted to bring up an interesting point, an interesting article that I read in the Albany Times Union probably 6 or 8 weeks ago now. Evidently, the state controller, Tom DiNapoli, mm-hmm. did a study of the income to rent ratio mm-hmm. in all New York State counties.
Yes.
And the worst was Bronx County in New York City, which is understandable. I wasn't that shocked when I saw that. The article said the big surprise, though, is the county that's number two, which yes. is Greene County,
yes.
which would be in your Senate district. Mm-hmm. And this, folks, means that the ratio of a person's income to the rent is very bad in Greene County, and probably not because the rents are so high, but because the incomes are so low. And, you know, I actually, I brought this up to Cecilia Kachik, which she actually had been on the show. And I you know, I'm going to ask you, too, why do you think a county like Greene County is having that kind of issue, being that it's only 100 miles north of New York City? It's 30 miles south of the capital of New York. It's got the Catskills. It's got skiing. It's got hunting. It's got fish. It's got one of the largest highways in the country running right through it. I mean, what do you attribute this to?
Well, we got to look at the problem, and Greene County being number two on that list is absolutely, it's not acceptable. It's terrible, and it's not something that Greene County officials are proud of either. And, you know, the county government, the local governments, and throughout the townships of Greene County are trying to work hard to create some opportunity. It's unfortunate, though, that, as you said, they're only 100 miles away from New York State, and yet, or New York City, and yet they have very low income coming into for their families. What does that tell you, Ed? It tells me that there's a lack of job opportunities. There's
right.
a lack of opportunity, period. And that there's, I believe, other regions of the state, geographic area, that kind of has created this this wall of opportunity to have Greene County thrive. And let's bring up that word thrive again. How can, in one county alone, the population isn't really growing that great in Greene County, but how can, whether it's New York City, which they're going to say, well, this is Greene County and the Catskill region is our drinking water. And it is our green space. It is our recreational area that we can come in and play in. It is our place that we just want to come and have a second home and enjoy the beauty of nature and the environment. All the while, the people in Greene County who grew up in Greene County have a lack of opportunities, have high taxes, have high per income rents, home ownership, okay, or rental opportunities, that there's a lack of. There's not a thriving of in Greene County if you have these statistics.
And let me point out that there's a culture in Albany led by Governor Cuomo, in my opinion, that seems to think that raising the minimum wage is the answer to an individual's economic problems. And, you know, my question to the governor is, why aren't you out there telling people about what they can accomplish in life, about having career jobs that have good wages? Why is the stress always on the minimum, you know, the minimum you could do? And don't worry, folks, you can have a menial job, but we'll pay you more to do it. And that is the message that I see going out to young workers in the hospitality industry, especially stick with your fast food job, because we'll get you more money to do it. That's not the message.
Ed, the politicians in Albany don't get it. Number one, I truly believe that they don't understand how economy truly works.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why is because many of them never really held a private sector job. They grew up from within the political system. They were political operatives, or they had political ambitions. And you know what they end up doing? They end up pandering to specific groups or demographics of the community and society. And it's wrong. I understand what it is to sign the front of the paycheck as well as the back of one, okay? I have 26 employees in my business. And you know what? We have kind of like this little microcosm of an economy. Why? Because I have people that I employ. We pay them, we give them and pay them a good living wage, not minimum wage. That's what something that we need to change here in the state of New York. This idea about a minimum wage. Minimum is not ever going to allow us to thrive in the community and society.
Absolutely.
We need to do something that's going to change that culture.
Right. And if you're so concerned about people who are working for the minimum wage, and these folks deserve credit for getting up in the morning, going to work, and earning a minimum wage, and I give them all that credit. But I want them to aspire to bigger things
in
life, and the government should help them do that. And also, the government shouldn't make them pay so much money in tax just to get to work in their car.
Well, then what the government needs to do in Albany is they need to have the right priorities and stop pandering and stop pitting different classes and different groups against each other. Let's work together in creating opportunities for all New Yorkers in all regions. And how are we going to do that? Well, let's protect the taxpayer. Let's bring forth a real true mandate relief, comprehensive mandate relief for local municipalities and counties, not having to go back to the property owner to say, hey, look, pay more, because whether Washington or Albany politicians say this is what you're going to do now without any local input, okay, and not collaborating with the localities, but yet the local and county governments they're forced with these unfunded mandates.
Were you
school districts with unfunded mandates?
When you were in the assembly, were you working on that issue?
Sure was. One of the first bills that I ever put forth, Ed, mm-hmm. When I first got elected in 2007, was the Property Taxpayer Protection Act, and everyone told me, "Oh, you'll never get that done." It was all about called the property tax cap.
Okay.
You'll never get that done. Why? Why can't I get that done? Well, because you're going to be in the assembly and you're in a minority conference, and Sheldon Silver is never going to allow it to happen. The governor's not in favor of it. And at that time, it was Governor Elliot Spitzer. They're never going to go for this property tax cap. And the teachers' unions is totally against it. They think it's going to be a detriment to the classroom. And I said, no. It's without a property tax cap, holding school board officials, local governments, state government, all accountable. Anyone who has the ability to vote on increasing our taxes, whether and through the budgets that they all have to deal with, if they don't have kind of measures in place to control the growth rate of our tax bills, then it was just like we saw for many years and decades in this state. Look at your property tax bill, say, 12, 13 years ago. In a 10-year period, that property tax bill went up 100%.
Right, and
there's no one getting in their paycheck, Ed, a 10% increase in their annual income
and
each and every
year. And in New York,
year.
You have a situation where people retire, their mortgage is paid off.
Yes.
They've timed things so that they retire when their mortgage is paid off in many cases. And then, you know, they look at their property taxes and they realize, oh, my, I'm paying more in property taxes now than my mortgage was when I first got the house.
And they're upside down.
Now, and you know, you are sort of in the housing industry.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about that because I'm interested in your take on the residential housing market in New York State. I bought my house in 2006 in Columbia County, and it's clear to me that my house is worth less than I owe at this point because of what I'm seeing in regard to comparable values. Do you think that things are getting better? And what can a state senator do to deal with a housing issue in a general sense?
Ed, the housing market has a lot to do with confidence.
Okay.
With the consumer confidence.
Okay.
When we have a thriving economy, we'll have a strong housing market. We'll see values increase again. But how are we going to do that if we got government heavy on our backs and deep in our pockets? And that's the problem we have in New York State. That's the problem Greene County has, all counties have in New York State. We need We need elected officials in Albany who understand localities, local microcosms of economies of scale in each and every single community. Small businesses, one of the backbones of our economy. We have first responders who are the backbones of our communities. We need to create opportunities for job creation for the people who are on fixed incomes, our senior population, to live in their home, to stay in their home, to afford their gasoline, to afford their energy bill, to afford their prescription drugs, to afford the groceries at the grocery store, all the bare necessities. But what has happened, Ed, is we've created these many layers of bureaucracy, which is very expensive. We have go-ship commissions. We have public authorities. We have a lot of we have an oversized government in the state of New York that is costing its people greatly. And the bigger the government, Ed, the poorer the people. And that's what we're seeing here in New York State.
Okay. Well, now you've been listening to the Right Opinion Show on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Hudson, and Catskill. My name's Ed Furtick, and our guest today is George Amador, who's running for the New York State Senate against the incumbent Cecilia Kacik. Now, I want to, George is going to be back in a few minutes. I want to make a few announcements, George, if you don't mind. And the first thing I want listeners to know is that at 11 a.m. following the show, Tyson will be here with Zooms. So please stay tuned for Tyson. Now, our guest on the May 28th show will probably be, because it isn't fully confirmed, but it will probably be Nathan Lebron, who is a Libertarian Party leader in the Capital Region. And that should be an interesting show. The other thing I want to mention is that WGXC has a webpage at WGXC.org, and I urge everyone to check it out. You know, first of all, I want to point out that this station operates on private donations mostly, and we could certainly use your donation. Anything helps. If you go to WGXC.org, you will find a method to contribute to the station. If you're a listener, you know the good work we do. We were recently cited by the New York State Senate for the great work that we do here, bringing you all types of music, news, local events, and thoughtful interviews like the one going on right now with George Amador. So, in addition to that, at the webpage, we have an archive. You can listen to our past shows, anyone's past shows. You'll be able to listen to this show if you go to the archive and search under The Right Opinion or you over and over again. Think of it, folks. And events, if you have events, you can post them on our website at WGXC.org, and you can also find out what other events are going on. So, that being said, back to our interview with George Amador. And George, do you mind if I call you George?
Absolutely, please. Okay. Can I call you Eddie?
You can. You can call me Eddie F on radio. That's actually who I am. Because I don't have a stage name. I had to think of something. But what do you think of the SAFE Act?
Oh, please.
Don't get you started.
Don't get me started with this. This is a knee-jerk reaction by politicians, by Governor Cuomo. And, you know, it's what is wrong with politics today. you know, we need a government that is of the people, by the people, for the people. We need elected officials who understand, yes, protection and the pursuit of liberties and justice for all. And we need to make sure that we have elected officials who understand that they're not there for their own job and for the keepsake of the job, but to serve the people, and you're going to have to make some tough decisions.
Are you a gun owner?
I'm a gun owner. I'm a permit holder. I am an avid sportsman. I am very involved in conservation, preservation, and making sure that our Second Amendment rights are not infringed on. And when you have a government, or whether it's Democrat or Republicans, because Ed, let's look at the scenario here. Both sides here did this. Governor did this, put forth the bill that should have been vetted out properly and not with some letter of necessity at the wee hours of the night without any public intervention whatsoever. And the Republicans should have stopped and demanded that we're not going to vote on this until we have the proper time and aging of the bill. And we're going to talk to the communities and get the input. And the simple reason for this is an infringement on our Second Amendment right.
So where was the Republican Party? What did they do to prevent this or change it?
Well, I think that there was more members of the Republican Senate majority at the time voting not in favor and voted no on this than there was then Republicans who voted yes.
Okay.
But again, because of the close mix of the members of the Senate on both sides of the aisle, every vote matters. And this is a sheer indication of what happens if, in fact, we have one-party rule. One-party rule in Albany is going to get us back to what we had.
If you want Al Jazeera News, please don't listen
to
the
Well, we are
Lawrence
having
Lawrence
a technical problem here.
WGXC,
so
10 a.m.
I'm going to try and figure out
a blend of pop
how to
culture,
fix it.
Current events, science and science fiction, and the
Sorry,
politics
folks.
Of Green in Columbia County.
This sometimes happens.
And pretty much anything else Lawrence wants to talk about. The talk show host, Bill Lawrence.
We are getting technical assistance right now. Okay, well, we're halfway there. Okay, I'm good to go? All right. Well, thank you very much, Katie Donnelly, for the assist. And we'll figure out how that all happened a little later.
So, Ed, so on the SAFE Act,
yeah.
Look,
we need to
get back to reality. And that is, look, we have the Second Amendment rights. We have other constitutional protections that we should uphold and not infringe on. But what New York State should do is whether they do a do-over on this law or amend parts of this law that I believe are not constitutional.
Okay.
But put forth the right bill for right protections so that, yes, we are not just allowing someone who has not been checked out to go and just have a firearm if there is mental illness in their history. Making sure that there are some background checks being done and followed through with the various government agencies.
And they're really, in this area, in Columbia County, the population is about 64,000, and I think there are something like 25,000 active carry permits, which is a huge proportion of the population. And folks, you don't see people walking down the street shooting each other. There aren't any incidents that we should be ashamed of here in Columbia County. I'm sure it's pretty much the same over in Ulster and Green and Albany, Montgomery, Schenectady County, which would be your district. And guess what? Democrats have guns too.
We as Americans have the right to bear arms, period. And we should uphold that right and make sure that no one takes those rights away from us. It's not the firearm that kills someone. It is a person who is pulling the trigger of that firearm that may kill someone. And that's where the accountability needs to be. Not the limit, but the following through of what laws are today and the right and what our freedoms say that we can have, but making sure that they're preserved and that they're protected. And when we have elected officials or candidates who want to restrict and want to take away our freedoms and liberties and rewrite the Constitution, well, then I think the voters better think twice and make sure, because whether it's the SAFE Act or whether it's some other piece of legislation that a elected official could bring forth, it could infringe on our rights, our freedoms, our liberties. And that's not what America is about. We have too many veterans who have fought for our freedoms, to uphold our liberties, and give us that pursuit of happiness. And what the SAFE Act did was make many of those veterans a bunch of law-breaking citizens, whether now they had a firearm that would hold a 10 capacity magazine round, to say, well, you can only have 7.
But you can have two magazines that hold a total of 14.
Which is totally ridiculous, which does not fix the problem with when you have mentally ill individuals who have in their hand or in their possession or get access to illegal guns, because that's where the problem is.
Right, but also just technically it doesn't make all that much sense, because a magazine can be swapped out in a second, so you can just have a second one in your pocket or a third one. But anyway, I'm going to go to a break song, Willie Nelson, On the Road again, and we'll be back with George Amador to talk about his campaign, and maybe we'll get into Common Core a little bit. So let's try to get that going right now.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. Life I love is making music with my friends, and I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again. Going places that I've never been, seeing things that I may never see again. I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again.
Back with WGXC 90.7 FM and the Right Opinion Show. This is Ed Furtick, and we are on the road again here in the studio with New York State Senate candidate George Amador. So, George, I want to ask you about your opponent, Cecilia Kacik, the incumbent state senator, 46th Senatorial District. Mm-hmm. Can you beat her this time?
Yes. I beat her last time, almost. 18 votes shy.
Okay. So how have you structured your campaign? Are you focusing on anything in particular, or is there anything anything you feel she's vulnerable on?
Well, my campaign, we're building up a team. The campaign is still in the early stages right now, but we're going around the district and listening to the voters. I want to hear their concerns, what's on their mind. There are so many people who are just so sick and tired and fed up with all of it. And that's why, it gives me great inspiration, because there's one thing that we should never give up on. That's the American dream and the American way and who we are as people. And we should not allow our government to take those joys or that sense of freedom and hope and abilities from us to thrive. And that's why I want to run. Yes, well, my opponent on the existing seated senator has she could be a very nice lady. I don't know her all that well. I'm sure she's a very nice lady. But she has a voting record. She has a record of what pieces of legislation or bills that she sponsored or she wants to bring to the floor for a vote, and what her past voting record's been. And it's unfortunate because for being a nice lady, she's not representing all of us in the 46th Senate District. I can tell you that right now.
Well, when I had her on my show, I asked her about Common Core. Mm. And actually, I had heard before having her on the show that she was opposed to it. That's not actually true. She is for Common Core in principle. What she's opposed to is the way it's been implemented. How do you respond to that? And what's your...
surprising, Ed. It's not surprising that she says one thing that she opposed, and now today she doesn't oppose, or vice versa.
Well, she didn't. And she never said that to me. I never heard her said that she was opposed to it. I heard from other people.
Yeah. There's a lot of things, though, that it's been a common occurrence. Doing one thing, saying one thing, and doing another. We need elected officials who know how to lead, and who have integrity, and who have the ability to get things done, who will work on a bipartisan fashion. We see no concerted effort on working on a very bipartisan fashion by the senator. We see legislation that she sponsored that I believe would do more harm to our economies and to this district than good.
Can you give an example?
One example would be the restriction of fluids on our railways and what's inside those fluids on our railways. That would literally, if what was passed according to the version that she has written, would shut down our commerce. Would totally eliminate the ability, especially next winter coming up.
You talking about lubrication
having
fluids? What kind of
having
fluid?
Oils being transported to?
Oh, you mean
transported to
the fluids you can transport?
Sure, yeah, and that that is a detriment to our economy. That's a detriment to society. Why? Because these are the necessities of life. We need heating oil to heat our homes. We need heat. We need energy sources to turn on our lights. Okay, and we need to get gasoline to put in our car to drive to work.
Sometimes I think that these candidates are playing to a larger audience. They want to develop credentials as being an environmentalist, even though there's not much substance there. In fact, getting back to
Ed, we are all tired of those politicians who want to play to a bigger crowd or special interest groups.
I mean,
because our interests are not being represented.
Yeah, Governor Cuomo is certainly doing that at this point in his career. He is playing to a national audience. He's developing a resume that looks good to a liberal base. There is, because as a pure politician, you would never have the audacity to push through, for example, the SAFE Act in the dead of night. New Yorkers are not making him popular because of that. But it does play to a very liberal base. And I think too often politicians do things like that to gain some creds with a certain segment of the population that might be damaging, way more damaging than it is beneficial.
Absolutely. It is damaging. Look, we have our Constitution. Let's follow it. Let's not alter it.
Minor
or water
detail,
it down,
right?
But we have the documents already in place. Just let's represent them. And for politicians to go, whether it's Republican or Democrat or any side of the aisle you want to be on, and they put forth the special interest above the interest of the district that they represent, or they just want to put forth the interest of a very, one group that puts a lot of pressure or maybe fills their campaign coffers with money, I believe that that's wrong, because we all in this senatorial district here we deserve the right to be represented, all of our interests.
Well, let's talk about that. What did you think when Governor Cuomo inferred that conservatives were not welcome in New York State?
Were you
personally offended?
Yeah, I was offended of
it. Do you consider yourself a conservative?
I consider myself an American that believes in the American dream.
But
in the American way. Do I have conservative principles? Yes. Do I have moral and ethical standards that I live by? Absolutely. And so doesn't a lot of other people. And that's what we need to be teaching our young people today. We once did, but we have stripped down our obligations or our ways of life or in community and society today to be too politically correct. And that's unfortunate, because we got to go back and look at what our founding fathers did for us, who fought against this form of government many years ago for our freedoms and liberties. But not only that, but look at what the bloodshed and the sacrifice and the dedication that our military has and that our veterans have paid. And we are stripping those away. We're not valuing them, because we have politics that get in the way to bring forth the qualities of life and the opportunity for all to thrive. And it's unfortunate, because one side will call me an extremist, like my candidate did all 2012.
Right, all conservatives are extremists.
Because I am a person who believes in pro-life. I'm a pro-life believer. But yet never one time in the 6 years of being elected in the state assembly ever take away someone's ability or limit their opportunities of their choice to do whatever they wanted. Never one time.
Let's talk about that for a minute.
I think we need to look at the intent and the individuals, whether it's Governor Cuomo or whether it's Cecilia Kacik or whether it's Rob Astorino or whether it's George Amador. We need to look at the track records. We need to look at the ideas of how we're going to make New York State number one in economic job creation and being the least expensive state to live in offering services to our citizens, holding people accountable who are on public assistance that are abusing the system that they shouldn't be because they're able-bodied people to go out and get a job, that we are investing in our infrastructure so that's top-notch and so that we can attract companies, not give companies tax breaks all the time so that you and I, who are citizens already in the state of New York, have to make up the difference
to pay for economic growth. In New
York
State,
these are all failed ideas,
we shouldn't
and we're in
have,
the wrong direction.
We shouldn't have a culture here of encouraging anything but being all that you can be in your life, earning as much as you can, with as little government intervention as possible. You know, in my home village of Philmont, New York, I have an extra space available in my home with a separate entrance, street level. Mm-hmm. I had the audacity to think about renting that out to a masseuse. village says, no, you can't rent to a business. Oh, I mean, I don't think masseuses are too disruptive or anything. I mean, I'm just trying to bring in a little extra.
But you do have to follow and obey the laws, and you have zoning ordinances that say this is what you can and cannot do.
Absolutely,
I understand that.
But
zoning ordinances are a good thing because it does bring some protection to all communities.
But right across the street from me is a Cumberland Farms. So they can be right across the street, but I can't have a masseuse renting a space. Well, anyway, you've been listening to The Right Opinion Show, and this is George Amador that's been speaking. He's running for the New York State Senate. And yes, George, you were going to say something.
You know, Ed, do you believe that, you know, when you have a burden, families facing hard fiscal times to make ends meet each and every month, many parents and even students who go to higher education, college, are loaded with college tuition debt, okay, and struggling to pay that debt off each and every month.
And can't get a good career job.
And can't really get a good living wage paying job, okay, at all.
And then the governor says, stick with it, we'll get you a higher minimum wage.
Well, no, not just that, but then the governor and our senator says, you know...
You mean state senator.
Our state senator, Cecilia Kacik, says, I believe that we should be giving college tuition to undocumented illegal citizens. Or not citizens, but legal people.
Right.
Now, how does that help all of us living in this district? Is that a... We all... Listen, there's no one more compassionate than myself and helping out the vulnerable, someone who is in need, whether they're documented or not, because I believe that's a human being and they deserve a chance and opportunity. But when we have citizens in the state of New York who can't afford or who don't have the ability to go and get financial assistance for higher education, college tuition, but yet we have this idea in the state Senate or coming from government in Albany that says, let's give illegals free college tuition assistance.
Right. It's disheartening to working poor people who try to do everything right to get their kids through school.
Yes.
And then someone who gets here by breaking the law, while, by the way, other people are standing online to come into this country legally. It's really tragic and it's maddening, and it's causing a lot of hard feelings when there shouldn't be. But this is a one-hour show,
and that's one of the reasons why I'm running, because we need a fighter. We need someone standing up to and for this district, standing up to those special interests, standing up to the governor, and saying that this is how we can thrive right here in the 46th Senate District with opportunities.
George Amador, thank you for being a guest on The Right Opinion Show. Once again, George Amador running for the New York State Senate 46th Senatorial District. You've been listening to The Right Opinion Show on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Hudson, and Catskill. Come back and listen on May 28th to our next show. Don't forget our webpage at WGXC.org. And Zooms is coming up with Tyson in just a few minutes. Tyson is out there getting all ready. And we are going to go out with another Willie Nelson tune, Georgia on My Mind. Thanks for listening, folks. Thanks, George Amador, for being here. And see you next time.
Georgia. Georgia, the whole day through, and just an old sweet song
keeps Georgia on my mind. Georgia, Georgia, a song of you comes as sweet and clear as moonlight through the pines. Other arms reach out to me, other eyes smile tenderly, still in peaceful dreams I see the road leads back to you. Georgia, Georgia, no peace I find, just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind. Georgia, Georgia, no peace I find, just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind, just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind, on my mind, on my mind, on my mind. On my mind, on my mind, on my mind, on my mind.